Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
What are we getting on caught? Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with John Schmelk, and what an exciting week it is. Why? Well, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, starts free agency. So,
well, kind of starts, because we've been hearing like it's been starting for 3 days already.
Right, well, this is that little grace period. Yes. Where, of course, agents get to talk to general managers, and of course, agents are leaking information to try to get other general managers kind of antsy in their pantsies and try to reach out and wheel and deal. It's kind of a 3 day grace period. But really, the calendar year for the NFL and the official free agency time starts Tuesday, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time. But you're hearing so many rumors and so much going on. So it is. It's an exciting week. I mean, because you're going to have the top-notch tier of free agent players that are making the big bucks go right off the top. And then you've got your second-tier free agents. Then you got your third-tier free agents. So it'll continue throughout the week. It really is an exciting week.
Yeah, and word has it already that the NFL is not too thrilled that all these contract details are being leaked. I'm not sure if there's going to be any consequences for all these contracts getting out there so early in this free agency grace period. You mentioned this is the exclusive
negotiating period. Well, then why have a grace period?
Well, you're supposed to be able to negotiate, but if it's not your own free agent, you're not allowed to agree to anything. So theoretically, there should be no agreements made because it's not allowed by the rules.
Right.
Anyway, the point being made, a lot of moves have been made, and a couple of the big shoes have already dropped. Dominic and Sue to the Dolphins.
Unbelievable. $114 million.
Not surprised.
He'll be making $19 million a year, one of the highest paid players in the NFL. And, you and I have had this discussion on the show before, John. When you look at where you want to spend the majority of your money as a franchise, it's quarterback, cornerback, and tackle, offensive tackle.
And maybe defensive end if you want to pass rush.
Okay. I'll go there. It just goes to show you, really, what a phenomenal force he is and what an unbelievable player that a team would really put that much money into, really, it's a glorified nose tackle.
Well, look, and I think people see him as more than that. And I think that's the point. They see him almost like a guy with defensive end skills that play defensive tackle. They see him as a guy that can rush the quarterback and stop the run. They don't see him as that plugger type of guy. So I think that's where, I think Sue stands alone. People see him as a unique player at defensive tackle where no one in the league is close to him in terms of the way he can disrupt the game.
And he joins forces with the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Of course, when it's all finalized, let's say tomorrow, Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. But Cameron Wake has to be one of my favorite defensive players in the NFL. He's so exciting to watch. So for him to join forces with Cameron Wake, it'll be really interesting to see how that Miami Dolphins defense really pans out.
This AFC East, look out. The Bills making moves. They re-signed their pass rusher on the edge today. Obviously, Rex Ryan comes in. They trade for LeSean McCoy. The Jets have been relatively quiet. The Patriots bring back Devin McCourty. We'll see about Darrelle Revis. So that AFC East is going to be pretty hot next year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Again, John Schmelk, Anita Marks with you for the next hour. If the phone calls continue to come in, we'll go beyond 1 o'clock. And that phone number for you to call, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also, both of us will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for any questions, comments you want to make.
And if you guys hear anything, moves that come in, we'll be doing the show. So if you want to give us a heads up on anything you hear on the rumor mill or going on, please let us know.
I mean, it's been a crazy morning far. I've been on the internet since 7 a.m. So, just a ton of news flying around. I mean, like I said, it's really, and this is the time that teams want to obviously address a lot of their needs so that when it, the end of April rolls around and it's time for the draft, then teams are going into the draft with, without that kind of sore thumb sticking out, like, this is what we need.
Yep.
And they can truly go by best player available, which we know the Giants pride themselves on.
Absolutely right. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We're also going to be joined by Art Stapleton from The Record in New Jersey to get the Giants' perspective on things.
That's right. I believe he's on. Let's bring him on right now.
Let's
Art.
Go, Art.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with John Schmelk, Anita Marks. How you doing today, my friend? A busy week for you and everybody who covers the NFL, huh?
Yeah, what's up, guys? You know, it's like 50 degrees. I was just curious if Jerry Reese and John Mara are hitting golf balls in the back of the facility, because that's the perception of some of the fans that are on Twitter, realizing that, you know, things may happen during this tampering period that may not reach the Twitter sphere. But yeah, things are good. It's warmer, getting warmer, and maybe we're getting closer to seeing some new faces around this team we cover.
Yeah, Art, I saw you retweet somebody about a half an hour ago, so I thought it was hilarious. After Patrick Willis, the news came out that he was going to retire, which is a big loss to the league. A very good guy, great player. Somebody tweets Art, even though Patrick Willis is retired, does that mean the Giants can then sign him to play linebacker?
Yeah.
and that about summarizes what the last 2 weeks have been about. And at least we're finally getting some news to talk about now, Art.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's funny because when it comes to free agency, you know, you just don't know. I mean, there are teams that like to handle business a certain way. There are agents who like to handle business a certain way. And then there are those that like the opposite. You know, there are a lot of reporters who are dialed in both nationally and locally, and it really depends on which agents you're talking to or which front offices you're talking to. The Giants, as we know historically, kind of lock the door, throw away the key, and when they want information to come out from their end, they'll put it out. They don't like negotiating in the media, and I respect that. You know, so the reason you're not hearing information from the Giants, well, number one, some of the big fish that maybe they were going after have signed elsewhere. And number two, it's not out there because the agents or the team or both do not want that information out there yet. So it's just very interesting the way things play out.
Yeah, it is, Art. But, I mean, let's talk about really, you know, there are a number of teams out there that have a ton of money under the salary cap, and we knew going in.
And still do, by the way, even after all these signings.
I mean, but yeah, exactly. But we knew going in that those were going to be the big players, right? Like Jacksonville. Look what Jacksonville, allegedly, all the rumors that are if we could sit here and assume that everything that's being reported is going to finally be finalized, let's say tomorrow. I mean, Jacksonville's a big player. The Eagles have been a big player. So for Giants fans to sit back, maybe be a little disappointed because, you know, maybe the Giants missed out on McCourty. Well, you know, there's a reason why the Patriots didn't tag him. They tagged their kicker because I think they were very confident that the number they were going to offer McCourty, nobody was going to be able to match. But, you know, so keep that in mind. You know, I don't want to believe that the Giants aren't big players right now because they don't want to be. There is a salary cap. And so there are teams out there that have got a ton of room to play with, and unfortunately there's teams that don't.
And I think that the reality, Anita, is that, you know, fans will look at restructures every year and think it's just easy, it's a one-way street that, you know, well, the Giants can get a lot of cap room this year. Why don't they just extend Eli, extend Prince Amukamara, you know, make John Beeson accept the pay cut or you know, get rid of him, and then all of a sudden, you know, they have all this cap space to go through. Well, that's not how they're dialing in. You know, they don't look at, you know, the reality is when Jerry Reese said at the Combine that they believe they're comfortable with the amount of space they have to get what they need, it is if they have the opportunity, in the case of a Devin McCourty, that all of a sudden they look at and identify and say, you know, well, the Patriots put him on the market. Well, let's see if we can make a run at him. If they need money, they will find money. You know, they will call up someone and say, hey, listen, you know, whoever is on the, you know, maybe that's when they do call Prince Amukamara and say, look, we're serious about an extension. We want to extend this. You know, well, something I tweeted last night, you know, Byron Maxwell reportedly signs for $13.5 million this year.
Amazing.
as a part of his contract. Now, if you consider what Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie signed with the Giants last year, which was the big fish on the pond, this year the Giants will pay just about $1 million more to have Prince Mukamara and DRC play corner for them than the Eagles will pay Maxwell. So it's really a game that goes on here that I think, you know, you have to be patient. You have to see the way things come together. And I think the Giants are playing this game right. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, at the end of this whole thing, if you look back and you see, you know, holes at safety, holes at linebacker, if they don't have, you know, that extra pass rusher that they wanted, or a run-stopping D-tackle to play next to Hankins, or they're still looking at an offensive line, you know, that's four-fifths complete, you know, then you can assess it 2 weeks from now and say the Giants weren't involved. But I do think everything that Anita said is spot on, is that, you know, right now they're in on the guys that they want. They are not precluded from going after other high-priced free agents. It's just a matter of what they decide and how they prioritize.
You know, Art, and I think the one name we've heard the Giants being in on, according to some reports, was Devin McCourty. Anita brought him up already. According to your sources, how far deep in were the Giants in on him? How close were they on McCourty? What did you hear before he decided to return to New England?
I mean, I think they wanted him. I tweeted this last night. I thought, you know, they wanted to make it, both the Giants and the Eagles, and then obviously there were other reports last night that the Jaguars were in on him as well. I think they made it known that they wanted Devin McCourty to come to the Giants and be a fixture in the secondary for years to come. But I really felt from the very beginning, you know, Devin McCourty did not, you know, pull any punches. You know, even when they weren't going to tag him up in New England, you know, you were going to have to blow Devin McCourty away with a big-time offer for him to not take an offer that was sure to come from New England. And I think that's really what happened. I think the tampering period helped Devin McCourty kind of force the issue with New England. I think Anita was 100% correct. I think New England decided when they didn't franchise him, they had a number in mind. They knew where they were willing to go, and if everything was equal, or at least near equal, Devin McCourty was going to end up back with the Patriots, and I think that's what happened. I do believe the Giants wanted him. I do also think that the Giants had a limit of where they wanted to go, and if they get up into the $10, $11, $12 million a year, you know, if you could have had Devin McCourty, you know, you would have had to offer him, you know, $13 million a year. I don't think they were willing to go that far. I don't think that it was feasible, and I think he ended up back in New England. But I do think that they were in, and it was serious. I'm just not sure that they would have been able to do what they needed to do to get Devin McCourty to turn down the counter proposal from the Patriots, which ultimately he signed, sealed last night, and is making his ESPN tour today. He has hit every show on the network that we love in Bristol today. So it's interesting to see how quickly that came together. You got to think that somewhere along the lines they knew what they were getting from New England, and it was just about testing the market to see what else McCourty can get this weekend.
Again, Art Stapleton joining us. You can find him at The Record. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks with John Schmelk. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513 if you want to get in. Obviously, not only just a busy day, but a busy week in regard to free agency. Another thing John and I talked about, Art, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and that is, you know, once free agency hits, you know, that's when we're seeing the big name players go, like McCourty, like Sue. There's some guys that took a hometown discount, like Randall Cobb staying in Green Bay. Apparently reports where there was about 6 or 7 teams that were offering him more money, but he wanted to stay in Green Bay. Heck, if Aaron Rodgers was my quarterback, I'd probably want to stay there too. Mark Ingram staying with, of course, the Saints. So, you know, here's some big-name players, right, that I think right off the bat are going to go. Now there'll be some second-tier players like Raheem Moore, like Parker out of Kansas City. I think Antrell Roll is looked at as a second, third-tier player. And I think when we get into the second and third-tier players, I think that's when we're going to kind of see the Giants make some moves and possibly sign some free agents. So I'm going to throw this out your way. What are some guys that aren't on the national radar right now, right? That the big-name guys that everybody's hearing about, what are some of the guys that are those second and third-tier players that maybe Giants fans should keep an eye on that might end up on this team later on in the week?
Well, you know, that's an open-ended question, Anita, as you know. I mean, we're all racking our brains to figure out, you know, the true plan as to what, you know, Jerry Reese and company are trying to do here. There's been a lot of focus on the defensive side of the ball. A name that you're going to start hearing, and we've heard it the last couple of days, but, you know, Brandon Graham from the Eagles, you know, defensive end, played outside linebacker with the Eagles, obviously, and you know, maybe he's better fit as a 4-3 D end. That's a name that, you know, everyone seems like it's split on my timeline on Twitter, that, you know, just some Giants fans think Brandon Graham is, you know, the next all-pro, and then some believe that, you know, he's just a bust and he's not going to translate. You know, the reality is it's probably more in the middle. I do think you mentioned Parker. That's an interesting name at safety. You know, the thing about Graham, and getting back to that, I'm not sure if he is a huge name, but the intrigue is the fact that they would take a chance on a guy like that and project. It's similar to what they did with Robert Ayers last year. Now, granted, Ayers had more time in the league, but they projected him to have an impact both at DN and D tackle. Now, I think Graham plays more. He'll play more at end.
Oh yeah.
I was looking at these numbers, and here's something for you guys. You know, we know how deep the pass rusher is probably in the draft, and we all know. You guys, your ears are probably still ringing from DeTino every day talking about the offensive line and what the Giants need.
Absolutely.
But I think when you look at a guy like Graham, the intrigue with the Giants this year is what they do internally. You know, if Graham is similar to Robert Ayers, and right now with Kiwanuka gone, you would imagine that Ayers and DeMontre Moore are kind of that next guy up as a starting defensive end. You know, Ayers is going to turn 30 by the end of this year. Graham is 3 years younger. Ayers is in. He signed a 2-year contract last year, so he's in the final year of his deal. Would it really be that far-fetched if they could sign Graham, a guy who's similar to Ayers, 3 years younger, when they can save almost about $2.5 million if they cut Robert Ayers? You know, those are the kind of things that we're not privy to. We don't have those details. But I do think that that's the way this Giants team is going to take shape this year. It's not going to be a big name, but it's going to be the, okay, well, if you can't sign Antrell Roll, you've got to find a safety that can complement that. Well, if that's Nat Berhe, well, then Nat Berhe is in the starting lineup. Do you bring back Stevie Brown and then look to sign someone else that you believe can jump to that next level, which would be a, you know, maybe a Parker in Kansas City. So now you put those three guys together, and now you have a three-headed safety package that you'd like to have. You used a lot under Perry Fuel. I'm not necessarily sure that Spags will be looking that way, but that's kind of where I'm looking at. So, Anita, as much as I want to give you big names that the Giants are in, you know, a Mike Iupati, you know, fake accounts on Twitter sent a tizzy earlier this morning saying the Jets had signed Iupati. I know they're in on it, but that didn't happen. You know, I'm not sure if that's a move that the Giants are looking to make. You know, Jeremy Parnell, when you look at what, you know, the reserve right tackle for
ridiculous.
The Cowboys.
Absolutely ridiculous money.
I mean, he got more, and I didn't look at the particulars. I don't have the contract, but I saw it on Twitter. I believe Parnell got more from Jacksonville than Doug Free got from the Cowboys.
Oh, much more.
And Parnell was the backup for Free.
Much more, much more. I think Parnell got something like 4 or 5 years, 30-something million, and Doug Free got 3 for $15, Art, so it wasn't even close.
But again, and this goes to the point that I made earlier, and that is if you had that much room in salary cap space, you could overpay for these guys.
Right.
And you're going to get them, of course, if money is the final line for them. I've said this for years. To me, you've got to put a price tag on the organization you're playing for, especially if you're as competitive as I am and you want to play for an organization who each and every year is putting their best foot forward and they're in it to win it. On top of how an organization operates, from the ownership to the head coach to the coaching staff and down. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, we're part of the staff here, but, you know, there's a number of people. Art, you've covered the league for a long time. You hear guys talk about how teams are just can't compare to playing for the Giants or being a Giant, and you've got to put a price tag on that. And that's my opinion. You know, you've got a guy who goes to Jacksonville Jaguars. No disrespect to the Jaguars, but you know, not a team that I'm dying to go play for, and I think a lot of other players would be dying to go play for, but if they're overpaying because they've got all that salary cap, well then all the power to them. That's what we've been seeing them do.
And you know, you look at what the Giants do and how they like to operate. You know, granted, is this a make or break year because of what John Mara said to us in the auditorium when he was asked the final question of, you know, the quote unquote, it's become an ultimatum now, which certainly was not an ultimatum when John Mara delivered it. The idea of, you know, would it be prudent to say that you know, everyone in the organization needs to win next year? Well, of course, you know, this is a big year for the Giants, because it's a transition year. But the reality is, you know, we know how Jerry Reese likes to operate. We know how this front office has operated now. You have a good feel for it. You know, you have a guy in Jay Bromley who is a third-round pick. Now, granted, whatever you want to say about Jay Bromley, he didn't show enough last year. He's a bust. He should have never been picked in the third round. He could have gotten him in the fourth or fifth. I mean, Schmelk, you know, we hear it all the time. We hear it on Twitter. You hear it all the time. The reality is this organization doesn't give up on draft picks. I can give you the list of guys who, you know, Jerry Reese believes, and this coaching staff to this point believes, that guys will get opportunities. Now, granted, this coaching staff has been loyal to the older players, and maybe some of those younger guys haven't gotten those opportunities, but, you know, they're not going to look a year in and say, Jay Bromley is a bust, and we're not giving Jay Bromley an opportunity. So for all the people who want to know where the next defensive tackle is coming from, you know, I could almost guarantee that, you know, it's Jonathan Hankins and Jay Bromley and then whomever else you can bring in there. You know, don't forget, you know, Colin Jenkins, they like Colin Jenkins. Colin Jenkins has played very well for the Giants, other than the injuries, and he's actually played through injuries. So if you're looking at those guys, would you like to bring in a Williams from Arizona? That was a name that popped up over the weekend. I think that would be an intriguing fit, depending on what the Giants can give him. You know, could you see him playing on rundowns for the Giants and maybe Jenkins playing on passing downs? A lot was talked about Bromley's success at pushing the pocket last year. You know, maybe Bromley gets in more on passing downs. You know, Spags is back. You know, there's the idea he likes using the defensive ends that can play inside on pass rush downs. So I think, like Anita said, you got to know the teams you're playing for. You know, you don't hear a lot of rumblings about the Steelers either. You know, it's kind of funny. Yeah. You know, Steelers don't make a lot of headlines during the first couple of days of free agency, and then all of a sudden, you know, you hear about the Steelers. Well, the Giants are very similar. So just because you're not hearing about your team doesn't necessarily mean that they're sitting in the back. As someone told me this morning, you know, what crossword is Jerry Reese playing today? Well, I don't think Jerry Reese is filling out a crossword puzzle. Believe me, the Giants are doing their due diligence. It's just a matter of trying to make things happen.
Yeah, our final question for me, you mentioned earlier some of the things the Giants can do internally to try to free up some more money. Which one of those, in your opinion, do you think is most likely? And I'm kind of pointing mostly at the quarterback, Eli Manning, where I know Eli loves playing here. Everyone knows he loves playing here. We know the Giants think the world of Eli Manning. What's the chance we see an extension for him that could perhaps bring down that cap number? And do you see that happening or any of these other players being able to come to some type of agreement with the team to bring their cap number down a little bit?
I think the Eli thing, and even if it doesn't happen now, I have to think that between now and the season that they're going to try to work towards getting an extension and locking up Eli Manning long term. It makes too much sense. You know, John Mara wants Eli Manning to retire as a Giant. You know, when I spoke to Archie Manning at the Super Bowl, Archie Manning wants Eli Manning to retire as a Giant. Eli Manning wants to retire as a Giant. It doesn't make any sense that this does not happen. And I don't think it happens because they need the salary cap space. I think it happens because it's the right move to make, and it needs to happen because you need to have your quarterback. You don't want Eli Manning going into a next year where you have to think about putting a franchise tag on your quarterback. It's going to be way too costly. So I think that's the move that happens. I do think they're comfortable having Prince Amukamara play on the 7-year $15 million a deal this year and see where Prince goes. And you know, I think they believe that they can sign Prince long term at some point next year if they decide to let him go towards the market. So I'm thinking it's Eli's extension, and I think it has to get done before this season, just based on what you want for your quarterback this year.
Art, thank you so much for your insight and joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you guys, too. Sorry I couldn't give a long list of big names to give you guys that the Giants are watching, but I know we'll all be tuned in to see if we can figure out what's going to happen between now and tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Art. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
And what Art's referring to, free agency begins officially at 4 o'clock tomorrow, and all these deals that you've been hearing about the last couple of days become final. And then with the Giants, I'm sure, as Art said, they like to play things close to the vest they need, and we'll start hearing some of the moves that they're looking to make.
Another guy I know we're talking about in regard to readjusting contracts, so the Giants could possibly have more cap space, Eli, Prince, and also don't forget there's John Beeson. Who, you know, reports him doing his little radio interviews, I'm not sure if it was on Sirius or on The Fan, had said that talks are already happening. So, you know, hopefully that gets established and there's some cap space that can be developed there for the Giants. 201-939. Other than those three guys, I don't think there's anyone else, right?
Not that I've heard, really.
That's it, right?
Nah, I mean, pretty much.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Stas is calling in from Washington. Stas, you are first up on Big Blue Kickoff
Big
Live
Stas.
Today. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. So I'm going to say something, and just give me a second to explain, okay?
Uh-oh. So we should brace ourselves.
Yeah. Brace yourselves.
Okay.
Brace yourselves.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I'm not a GM, right? But I am a businessman.
Okay.
I manage 30 locations. I understand budgets. I understand monies. I understand how you got to look to your forecast, what your budget's got to look for the next 5 years. I understand all that. So that's why I disagree with everything Art Stapleton just said. Okay? For one reason and one reason only. If you feel that Elijah is your answer long term, and you want to get it into, and you're going to extend him anyway, why haven't you extended him now? Because you know for a fact Eli Manning is willing to extend now, so that you have the money in case. I'm not for signing free agents for the sake of signing free agents. Let me put that on the record. I never called up to you and said, oh, we need it down against two. If anything, I don't think he's a Giant. I think, though, why are we putting ourselves in a situation where we are disadvantaged by the cap space, when we know there are certain key players that we can extend right now, and we are in less of a, and we reposition ourselves with more control, if there was somebody who came up that fell into our lap that we could say, oh my God, we could absolutely have this guy. Now we have the space to operate. Instead, if that guy comes up, right, we have to go see what we have to do is shuffle money. Everything's about Lean Six Sigma, right? Less moving parts, making things easier and streamlined. The Giants are creating, in my opinion, because they haven't extended someone like Eli Manning, are creating more moving parts. In addition, next year, Eli Manning, Prince Amukamara, Jameer McClain, Robert Ayers, Zach Diossi, Ruben Randle, all free agents, unrestricted free agents. So what are you doing for next year? You're putting, if Prince Amukamara hits the open market, barring injury, I'm going to say right now, he doesn't stay a Giant.
Well, stop. Hold on one second. All I'll say to you is this. I don't have a good answer, and I know Anita doesn't either, as to why they haven't signed Eli to an extension yet. Nobody knows except for Eli and the team.
I'm going to throw this out to you, Stas, okay? And that is...
Thanks for the call, Stas.
And Stas is gone.
Eli, we got to get dialed to him.
Yeah. And this is where I'm going with this, is we don't know if possibly maybe there is a deal that's already been discussed, and but maybe the Giants don't want to advance with it until they need to. We don't know.
We don't know. Nobody knows.
I understand that I'm really impressed. You managed 30. Didn't really say what he does, what they were, right?
No.
But I get it. But we don't know. We don't know if talks have already transpired between the Giants and Eli's camp.
They could.
If talks have already transpired with the Giants and Prince's camp,
right,
where maybe there's a deal that's already everybody's kind of comfortable with in place, but the Giants aren't moving forward until they have to.
Absolutely. And this could be a deal where the Giants aren't going to pull the trigger until they must. And they have, like, and Eli had already said, look, if you need me to do X, Y, or Z, I'll do X, Y, and Z. Just let me know. And
didn't he come out last year and said he was willing to do it to get Victor Cruz signed?
Right.
Right? So Eli already came out and said, listen, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to create some cap space because I don't want to lose Victor Cruz. It's not like he's not willing to. Maybe the Giants just aren't in a position right now, John, that they have to do it right now. But we don't know what's already in place in case they want to push that button. We don't know. Let's go to Bob in Bloomfield on line 4. Bob, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Bob,
hello.
You there? Hi.
Hi, I was just calling in. I wanted to just touch on one point that you hear a lot about defense, like the defensive tackle position, defensive end. But if you kind of think back, like over Giant history in the 80s and 50s, and even the great defensive teams of the Ravens, the Bears, where their strength really lied was that linebacker. Mike Singletary, Ray Lewis, Lawrence Taylor, and the middle of the Giants defense. For me, 40 years of watching, it doesn't seem like we're failing a lot on the front floor, but it seems like we don't fill, like we don't have that linebacker play in. In free agency, is there anyone out there, you know, or the draft, do you think we'll finally draft a linebacker, somebody that, you know, that can live up to the reputation of New York Giant linebackers, Jesse Armstead, and the 90s, and the great defenses? And, so I kind of go the opposite of what a lot of people are thinking, defensive tackle and those positions, and more look at, like, trying to get back to playing linebacker play again. So I was wondering what you thought there. And the second part of the question I had was just playing people out of position, the offensive line. Like Richburg, you draft him as a center, you play him as a guard.
He'll play center this year.
Huh?
He'll play center this year.
I understand, but even Pugh, right? The word on Pugh was that his arms were short, he's a little slow of foot, but the Giants didn't think that.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Justin Pugh is always a tackle, though. You can't say they're playing Justin Pugh out of position. He never played guard before.
Right, but his strength, though. If you're going to play a person to his strength, do you think he strengths more as a guard than a tackle, or no?
Obviously, the Giants don't think that. Look, I'm not a scout that can tell you where an offensive line is going to play better. Look, a lot of people did think he might fit eventually better as a guard, and maybe he'll wind up there at some point. But I think Pugh's done a pretty decent job at tackle so far.
Okay. Yeah, because I know you watch, he just seems to get pushed back all the time. It looks like Eli's pocket collapses constantly.
Well, I mean, if you worry about getting pushed back, you don't want him on the inside of the line where he's playing even heavier and stronger guys at tackle, do you?
No. But what do you think about linebacker, though? You think the Giants will ever?
Thanks, Bob.
Bob, thank you. Thank you for the call. Just a quick note in regard to the offensive line. One thing that I've noticed in the time that I've been here covering the Giants is that, you know, they pride themselves on drafting offensive linemen, John, that you could plug in anywhere, that can play tackle.
You want guys that are flexible.
Exactly, that can play guard, that can center when need be. I mean, look, with the Giants, Kevin Booth was such a big part of the Giants winning the Super Bowl because you were able to plug him in at center. So that's first and foremost. Another thing in regard to linebackers, I know you have a list here of some of the free agent linebackers, but how about Kennard? I think Kennard is a star in the making here.
Well, and I think a couple years ago, too, you have Kennard playing well, and when Beeson was healthy 2 years ago now, they played extremely well, especially stopping the run that year. And I do think he's right. I think we have seen some weakness over the past 8-9 years in the middle of the field, especially in pass defense. You know, Antonio Pierce is great against the run, not the fleetest of foot in terms of covering tight ends down the middle of the field and things like that. So I do think there has to be, Bob, some improvement at the linebacker position. Now, here's the problem. The linebacker position isn't what it was in the, you know, late 80s and early 90s and mid-90s, even late 90s. You don't get those type of players developed as much as you did. I mean, do you want to go out there and give Rolando McClain money where he had one good year after retiring? Now he might maybe has a drug suspension coming up. Brandon Spikes is a guy that can't cover. He's good against the run, but he's not good in pass coverage. So there isn't anybody really out there. And then in the draft, there are only 3 or 4 Mike linebackers in the entire draft that are going to come in and help you right away. I'm not sure that quick answer is available like you want it to be. I get where you're going, and I agree. I think improving the linebacker spot is important, but I don't think there's a real quick answer out there that's going to solve all the problems.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the free agent list that you pulled up. you know, Lance Briggs is
34 years old.
Exactly. Just not the Lance Briggs he was in his heyday in Chicago.
And then, you know, Geno Hayes, I mean, you know, he's not ringing anyone's bell. Justin Durant's off another injury. He's 29, a veteran. You know, Jasper Brinkley's 30 already. You know, there just aren't a lot of guys out there that are going to step in and be a huge difference maker right away, in my opinion, at least.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to line two. We've got Sam calling in from D.C. Sam, welcome. You're up.
Hey, how you guys doing, John and Anita?
Okay. We got Sam.
Hey, first and foremost, you guys have such a tough job. It's incredible. I mean, these guys like Mayock and stuff don't have to deal with us, the fans. And you guys have to answer the bell, so to speak, to us. And we don't know a lot about really what goes on behind the front offices. But
It's all fun, man. We like it.
Yeah. But to answer the budget guy's question is, you know, budgeting for a small business definitely is not the same as budgeting for one of these teams. You know, you definitely want to get a return on your investment. And sometimes these players go from night and day, you know, from one season to another. I mean, look at what the Broncos did with Dawkins back in the day. They signed him when he was in his 30s, you know, that danger zone when it comes to football players and age. And they I mean, hey, the list goes on. You could what did the tight ends pay the safety from Ravens? I mean, the Texans paid the safety for the Ravens a while ago. Ed Reed,
yeah,
and he dropped off into no man's land. So
very quickly,
you know, you can't just budget and tell people, all right, we're just going to give you a 6-year contract, for example, and expect that player is going to play to that same level for the throughout the 6 years. I mean, Antrell Roll, hey, he admitted he had a low season last year, you know?
Hey, and Sam, that's why you rarely see teams win Super Bowls because of big moves in free agency. The nature of the business is that you have to overpay for these guys in order to get them to come to your team, and I think you're seeing that again in the earlier parts of free agency. I should bring this up too, Sam, and then I will let you finish. Derek Gunn from CSN, according to sources, Brandon Graham is leaning towards the Dolphins or Titans, but now the Giants may make him an offer he can't refuse. Again, just a report that's out there. Not confirming, denying. The Giants haven't made a comment on it, but just want to throw that out there. Food for thought. Finish up, Sam. What else you got?
Okay, and then just real quick, I just want to address two areas. The scat back that we're probably going to be looking for, the change of pace guy, and then your make a case article that was on the New York Giants. And first I'll go with the scat back. John, I agree with you 90% of the time. This is probably the 10% of the time where I say, hey, I think we got the guy in-house from a scat back
perspective.
Like I mean,
you like Darkwa?
Yes. Yes, and he came on in the Rams game. And so I think, you know, if we bring that kid on and keep him on to a small contract, he's not going to cost the amount of money that the guys that are on free agency are going to cost. And then you're not pressured in the draft to draft a guy second round, third round. To fill that hole when you probably got a guy between him and Michael Cox to kind of fit that gap. What do you think on those two players?
You know, I think you make some good points. I don't disagree. And Sam, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good stuff as always. And, you know, it's very tough. And I think Darkwa can do it. I'm not sure if he can or not.
I haven't seen enough either.
And there's a reason he was, frankly, out there on the free agent market in the middle of the season. I mean, there's a reason he doesn't have a job. So I don't think he's going to step in and be a star for you. But I think he can step in and, you know, maybe do the job. I have to see more, though. I'm with Anita. I haven't seen enough to know whether or not he can or not.
Again, just talking about some reports and stuff that's out there. Helu and Antoine Smith from the Atlanta Falcons. I like Antoine Smith. Didn't he scored a touchdown the Giants?
Yeah,
a receiving
58 yards.
Right, a receiving touchdown.
Swing pass, yeah.
Against the Giants this past
year. By the way, a fan pointed this out to me last week, and I didn't know it. He's going to turn 30 years old this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like he's only been in the league a couple years.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I was shocked when I saw that.
That's surprising to me. But that's the kind of running back that I see complimenting. Because look what you get with Rashad Jennings. Look what you get with Andre Williams. That's the kind of back that I see kind of adding into this type of mix that, you know, brings in a different type of skill set that's going to take this backfield to a whole new level, especially especially in the passing game. So that's the kind of guy that I'd probably be more excited about than anyone else right now.
And Joe on Twitter is asking about Brandon Graham's Pro Football Focus ratings the last 2 years. He's actually been rated very highly by them as a pass rusher. So, again, he was drafted as a 4-3 end. The Eagles had Trent Cole, a lot of guys that could play. He didn't really play a whole lot his first 2 years. Then they went to the 3-4, and he rushed the pass well as an outside linebacker last year. But he's considered a 4-3 defensive end, which is why they think he could be a fit here for the New York Football Giants.
201-939-4513. John Schmelk, Anita Marks, you're watching and listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Day before free agency starts, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's continue with your calls. Let's go to Montclair. Phil, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're up.
Philip.
Hey, John. Hey, Anita. How you guys doing?
All right.
Doing well.
I just want to know, have you heard anything? Are we going to go after any linemen? Because I see we're looking at offense. I mean, we're looking at outside linebackers.
Phil, I actually have an exclusive. The Giants will not attempt to sign any free agents all offseason.
No offensive
line. I'm kidding. Phil, obviously the Giants are doing work. Jerry Reese is
now
in the
office.
Now our
phone lines are really going to blow
He's
up, John.
He's making phone calls. He's doing work. And look, and I think I want to mimic what Ark said earlier in the show. Just because it's not out there doesn't mean work's not happening. Calls aren't being made. The Giants aren't in on guys trying to get things done and negotiate contracts.
Right, right.
Obviously they are.
I've seen reports about outside linebackers that play 3-4, and we don't even run that. Like, I don't see why we do that a lot, John. Like, Jerry Reese always puts players out of position, and I don't think that's best for us. Like, that doesn't seem best for the players.
How does he always put players out of position?
Well, for one thing, I remember Clint Sintem. Didn't he play 3-4 outside linebacker? We try to convert him to
Clint Sintem never played in the NFL. He was always hurt.
I know, I'm just saying, but we drafted him coming from that type of system.
So there
this guy, Graham, they played 3-4.
Yeah, when they drafted him, they were a 4-3 team, and he played defensive end.
And then we try to make him an outside linebacker?
Who said the Giants are going to play Brandon Graham an outside linebacker? They're going to play him at defensive
end. No, I'm just
saying,
but he plays outside linebacker.
No, but he got drafted as a 4-3 defensive end when the Eagles played the 4-3. The Eagles only switched to the 3-4 when Chip Kelly became the head coach. They were a 4-3 team under Andy Reid forever.
Yeah, but when I look up his profile, it says outside linebacker. That's what I'm saying.
I realize that. That's because the Eagles played the
3-4
last year.
So the Giants are going to play him at defensive end?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so my next question is, don't we have a whole bunch of defensive ends now? I mean, where's he going to play at?
So who do you want then, Phil?
I want an offensive tackle. That's what I want. I don't want them to go after no outside linebacker to play defensive end for us right now. I want to go get a tackle. That's what we need. Or a guard.
You want to pay $30 million for an offensive tackle that's played six games, that started six games in his NFL career, like Jeremy Parnell?
Actually, I like this guy, Bilodeau.
Well, that's great. Let me ask you this. If Parnell, a guy like I mentioned, has started six games in his NFL career, is getting $30 million, how much money do you think Brian Bilodeau is going to get?
Well, I was under the impression that Bilodeau was going to get the same kind of contract as Orlando Franklin just got, which wasn't that – it was a reasonable contract. I mean, it's not crazy.
I mean, it's not crazy, but that's still a $7, $8 million a year contract.
I mean, don't you think – we need to go that route. I mean, this not guaranteed in this draft. They're saying the best tackle could be better at guard. So, I mean, I'll say that's the safest route, right?
Well, I don't think you have to sign a tackle, though. Justin Pugh hasn't killed you at right tackle the last 2 years.
No. I mean, but he scouted as better as a guard. Now, that can go...
Wait, hold on. You know, time out, Phil. You start the call by saying, I don't want to draft a guy that plays one position and move him somewhere else. Now you want to move Pugh, who played tackle his whole life, and move him to guard.
But they said that he was better at guard.
Who's they?
The scouts.
Not Giants scouts.
The scouting report on Pugh when he was drafted, that he'd be better in the NFL as a guard than a tackle.
That's
right or wrong?
That's what Mel Kiper says. How do you know Jerry Reese and the Giants staff thinks the same thing?
But John, you haven't heard reports. I mean, we've all seen this, that think about putting him at guard, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's in your head, so it's not far-fetched.
No, I'm not saying, but you make it out like you have to draft a tackle. Like, Justin Pugh cannot
I'm not saying that. I just don't want to go in – because if we pick some offensive lineman with the ninth pick, it's going to be a tackle. It won't be a guard, right?
I wouldn't look if you end up drafting Sharp at nine. He plays as an all-pro guard. I'm fine with that. I don't care.
Again, that's the great thing about how the Giants draft is that you can plug guys in certain positions. You don't have that set. Well, he can only play tackle and he can only play left tackle. The Giants don't draft that way. At least they haven't in the past. And that's what's so great about this line. You can pretty much plug anybody in anywhere.
I'm not disputing. I'm just saying I would rather have a player play at his best position than, oh, he can play both. Like, that means you're not better at one or other. I'd rather you be strong at one than versatile at another.
Because, Phil, then what happens is the season progresses and you have injury. Like, they had injury not just on the offensive line, but throughout the season. Then what do you do? If you're saying you just want to draft a player that only plays that one position, and then you've got to expect injury is going to happen during the season.
Right.
And now you're stuck because you've got a guard who doesn't know how to play center, or you've got a guard that does not have the athletic ability to step out and play tackle.
Well, look, Phil, that's
why you have depth, though. That's another thing. But one more thing, though, John.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Say they went and signed Upati. I wouldn't mind that in keeping Pew. I just want a veteran on the line, somebody who is, you know, this guy is a top player at this position. I don't feel like we have a player like that on the line. I think we need one.
Phil, I don't disagree with that. If you want to make a big upgrade on the offensive line, that's fine. I just don't want to go out there and say, well, I have to go out and sign a big offensive tackle here, and I'm not sure you're going to get the best value
for
your money for one of the guys at the top of the market, because those are the guys that are going to eventually get overpaid, Anita. So you're taking a look at some of these guys that are going to get the big contracts, like the Iapatis, like the Orlando Franklins, like the Bulaga. Remember, Bulaga's missed, I think, half of the Packers' games the last 3 years he's played. He's been relatively injury prone.
But then he played all season. I'm just putting out the name because he's the marquee player in this free agency. All I was saying is that, you know, I want them to basically go get a veteran to be on the line, somebody that you know, like, this is a stalwart, he's the top guy on the line. Instead of going to draft somebody, and it might be a project, or he might be better at one position, like, just go and get somebody who we know, like, this guy is our best lineman, right? He's our all-pro lineman, right? You don't need a whole line. They just have to be meshed together. I think if they go do that, whether it be Upati or Bulaga, I think one of those would definitely make us really strong there. That's just my opinion. No,
Phil, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Hey, look, and I don't think trying to strengthen the offensive line with the big-time player is the wrong move. I don't. But again, it's economics. Salary cap.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek calling in from Atlanta. Derek, welcome. You're up.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, D?
You know, I wanted to start, you know, I wanted to talk about linebackers, but first I just had to, you know, I know you guys hear it a lot, but this Eli thing is just really concerning fans. I know it's fans. We're fans. We feel a certain way about our quarterback. You have got to get a deal done, and it makes no sense to me at all why the deal hasn't been done already in the salary for the salary cap for this time of the year. I mean, hopefully I'll hear something in another couple of hours that Eli's been restructured, but I can't. Everybody's trying to defend why the Giants hadn't re-signed him, or they don't need the money. It just makes no sense. You're not going to get rid of Eli Manning in as a Giant. It makes no sense to either franchise him next year, and it makes no sense to leave him out there as an unrestricted free agent. I mean, if it's Eli who's pushing back, then you probably need to seek a trade if you don't believe in the money that you want to give him. But I would think Giants would want to make this guy end his career as a Giant.
Derek, first thing first, I don't assume that Eli is pushing back. I think Eli loves it here, wants to be a Giant, wants to spend his entire career with the Giants, and wants to retire a Giant. So first and foremost. And second of all, I don't know about you, John, but I do believe and I feel, and I don't know anything, but I do believe and feel that a deal is going to get done with Eli. before the
season. Well, hopefully we'll hear it in a little while here, so we can use that money towards free agency and not wait to, you know, the deadline to get him traded and have that money have to sit there for the next year.
Okay.
I did want to talk about some linebackers here.
Yeah, real quick.
The Brandon Graham, I like this kid, but
he's not a linebacker. He's a DN, Derek. I keep telling you, Brandon Graham is a defensive end, everybody. He is not a linebacker.
And I don't want to go back to my Vic Beasley thing, but, you know, I think we also want to take a look at another linebacker, Philip Wheeler. I know he's 30 years old, but so is John Beeson. Only thing about it is Philip Wheeler is probably to stay healthier than John Beeson. We need a secure blanket just in case John Beeson gets hurt again. Philip Wheeler has been a pretty good player for Miami for the last couple of years. And I also would take a look at Jared Otterick and see if we can get him in as defensive lineman.
I think he's already going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He is? Already announced?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have saw that earlier today. I think you're right.
Yeah, but he would have been a good person to have here. I guess the next guy would be Damian Harrison. You know, he could stop the run. And we do need some run stoppers here, so. But this Eli thing is concerning. You know, I know it's a lot. You know, you're going to hear about it, but it's concerning fans. I mean, we are concerned about the Eli not being a Giant. And, you know, especially with Odell Beckham being here and, you know, we possibility of having a draft pick at number 9 that can come in here. You know, we need a quarterback. And you can't win in this league without one. And, you know,
Derek, I
just wanted to say that.
I appreciate it, and I know where you're coming from, but I'm with Anita. I would not worry about Eli Manning here long term. I think that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Appreciate it.
201-939-4513, trying to get through as many calls. I know it is a busy day on the phone lines. Also, we're going to extend the show 15 minutes. We're going to go to 1:15 because we're getting a plethora of phone calls, which is great on this Monday afternoon. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 4, Freddie calling in from New Jersey. Freddie, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I just want to first of all start off saying thank God half these callers are not the Giants general manager, because we'd be in a world of trouble. The reason I was calling is my thing about Brandon Graham is that if we bring him in as a rotation depth guy, just don't overpay for him. Because in 5 years in the NFL, he only had 17 sacks. And
I don't think that's something you have to worry about. I think the Giants pride themselves on not overpaying.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. But if that one report I read is true and the Jaguars and the Titans are in on them, those are two teams that have the oodles and oodles of cap room. They're probably more willing to overpay for a guy like Graham than, say, the Giants are considering their cap situation.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, real fast, I want to touch on what Anita said earlier about that type of scat back, Antoine Smith back. There's a back out there that needed them familiar with from the U. Duke Johnson, maybe second round, maybe. So
I do. I like Duke Johnson a lot.
I think second round's a little early.
Second round is early. I'm looking at late third, maybe fourth round.
So the Giants maybe early. They're ninth pick in the fourth round.
But
maybe?
I like Duke Johnson.
I like Duke too.
Lot.
I think he's a good player.
A lot.
Also, I think he would help on the return game tremendously because we don't need Odell back there returning punts because we don't want another Jason Zehorn scenario happening, you know? So that's all I got. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, and have a good day.
Thanks for the phone call. I mean, when was the last time that you saw the Giants sign a free agent or rework a deal where the reaction was like, what? Giants are paying that player what a year? I'm sorry. I mean, look,
do I remember the last time the fan base overreacted for paying? You know what? The one player I've been here where people or fans were kind of freaking out over how much they paid a player, and I think it's really only happened once, Will Beatty. I got some negative reaction to the Will Beatty contract. I think that's the only player that I really got, oh, you're paying him that much? I think that's the only guy.
But again, where do you – teams that have success, where do you spend the majority of your money?
Offensive tackle.
That's right. Offensive tackle, quarterback, and cornerback. You know, and no disrespect to Sue, but I'm $19 million $1 million a year. I mean, that's insane money. That's insane money.
I give Dan Graziano credit on ESPN, by the way. He has so much fun with these fans. Somebody asked him if you had to guess what free agents the Giants going to sign next, and he writes back, sticking with Henry.
Oh, 201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls.
Trolling Giant fans everywhere.
Like I said a little bit earlier, we're going to stay on the air through 1:15 p.m. Eastern time. Let's go to line two. We've got David calling in from North Carolina. David.
What's up, Dave?
You're up.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Been a while since I called in.
Thanks for hearing. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. These fans, man, they crack me up. You know, Brandon Graham was valued very high by this organization. He was drafted the same year as JPT, and
I believe the pick right after.
A lot of people thought the Giants were going to pull the trigger on him. And what was it? The Eagles jumped over him because of that, right? The draft that year.
I'm trying to remember. Graham was either picked right before the Giants or right after the Giants. I'm trying to remember which one. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I was thinking the Eagles pulled a trade that year because they were worried the Giants were going to draft Graham. Nevertheless, who's to say he's just going to be a rotational guy? I mean, Robert Ayers and DeMontre Moore haven't really shocked the world and averaged 10 sacks a year.
Yeah, look, the JPP was a project coming out this year. And let's see, Brandon Graham was picked two picks before Jason Pierre-Paul. He was out of Michigan, 13th overall. And you're right, they traded with the Broncos, who had gotten the pick from the 49ers at 13 to jump ahead of the Giants to take Brandon Graham.
Yep.
By the way, after Brandon Graham, Earl Thomas got picked, and then JPP went off the board.
Right, right. And a lot of, you know, you don't ever know if the rumors and stuff are true, but a lot of people thought the reason they leapfrogged is because obviously the Giants value defensive linemen so much. A lot of people thought they were going to take him. I think it'd be a solid pickup. I think, you know, the Giants tried their best. They made an offer to McCourty, and, you know, as you guys have been saying, you're always going to overpay. You were mentioning, you know, the last time fans overreacted. I remember when we signed Antrell Roll. I mean, we made him the highest-paid safety, and I didn't even think at the time he was probably the best safety in the league, but you always overpay, and he had a heck of a run here, and I don't regret 1 minute of that signing.
No, and you shouldn't. Antrell's done a great job. By the way, I have this 2010 draft game. We always talk about the 11 draft being one of the best of all time. The 10's not far behind it. The 10 draft, and this is also the free agent class this year, too.
I know. So that's why I want you to keep it up. I want to go over it.
Go ahead.
David, thank you so much,
Dave,
for the phone call. All right, so here is the 2010.
10, yes.
This is the 2010 draft class, really quick. Sam Bradford won overall. Look, the injuries he's had, not sure exactly what his future is with the Rams. Can he stay healthy?
Right.
Sue went number two overall. Now reports he's going to become a Miami Dolphin. McCoy
just signed a long-term extension with the Bucs last year. Excellent, excellent player, defensive tackle.
Trent Williams.
Great offensive tackle for the Redskins.
Eric Berry.
Obviously, he's dealing with the cancer issue. Hopefully, he gets back. When he was healthy and he was in the league, he was playing extremely well at safety.
I'll let you continue.
Russell Okung, offensive tackle. He's been, I think, a little bit of a disappointment for Seattle. He's been pretty darn good, though. Joe Hayden, obviously one of the top corners in the league, playing for the Cleveland Browns. Then you have Rolando McClain, who's a free agent, off-the-field issues.
CJ Spiller.
Now a free agent.
Right. Well, I'm trying to
Ryan Matthews at 12,
reports,
also a free
reports
agent.
Where Spiller might
Eagles.
Land. Eagles, okay.
That was a word. They might try to pair him with Frank Gore as that kind of, you know. With,
okay.
Also, the name's escaping me, the former Saint running back, the little guy.
Oh, Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles as their three running back.
And they have Polk, right?
I think he might still be there, too. Yeah. And then Ryan Matthews at 12. He's a free agent as
well. Free agent.
Brandon Graham, we mentioned him.
Earl Thomas, one of the best, if not best safety in the NFL right now.
Derek Morgan's one of the defensive ends out there that he's a free agent. Iapati at 17, free agent. Sean Weatherspoon, actually,
reports
I believe.
Reports might go to Buffalo,
One year, right? I think it was a 1 year. Was it Arizona?
Arizona.
Weatherspoon was Arizona, right? Weatherspoon to Arizona. Jermaine Gresham's a free agent from Cincinnati at tight end. Demarius
I don't think
Thomas
they bring him back.
Has been nabbed because they have Tyler Eifert there, who they really like.
Demarius Thomas at 22, tagged.
Brian Bulaga, free agent at 23.
Des Bryant
tagged at 24.
At 24. Des Bryant went at 24,
off
tagged.
Off the field issues, right? And then Dan Williams is a free agent. Excellent defensive tackle.
You
for
skipped
the
over Tim Tebow.
Purposely. And then you have Devin McCourty at 27, who just got re-signed by the Patriots for big-time money. Jared Aldrich, the player that was mentioned by the caller just before. Where
reports,
is he supposed to go again?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville for him?
Reports.
And then
Kyle Wilson is available.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
He went to the Jets at 29.
I'm not sure how big the market is for him. Javid Best.
Unfortunately, he had to retire because of concussion issues.
That was a shame. A very explosive
sad.
Back.
Jerry Hughes just re-upped with Buffalo.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of guys here that were in that 2010 class. And then you go to the second round, these guys that were all free agents last year.
Look at Rob Gronkowski, second round, went 42.
Linval Joseph in that group. So there were a lot of players. Jason Worlds, a guy who's a free agent this year for the Steelers, one of the top linebackers on the market. Sean Lee for the Cowboys, who got re-signed last year. He's had all sorts of knee problems. Golden Tate was a free agent last year. Brandon Spikes. I mean, Terrence Cody, he's out there too. So there are a lot of really good players out of that 2010 class.
I mean, it really, if you have some time, it really is fun to go back and look at some of the older draft classes and give it like a good, I'd say minimum three, if not like 5 to 6 years, and go back and look. Like, for example, Gronkowski going in the second round, and he's just a complete beast for the Patriots. So it's kind of neat to go back and see where some of these guys fell and how well they're doing now in the NFL. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Joe, calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you all doing there?
Doing well, Joe.
I'm surprised the Eagles ain't going to sign Graham, too. I don't understand, because they're leaving Cole go, too. I don't know. But I know his first year or two, they were considered him somewhat of a bust. But he did come on the last year or so. He's been tough. You know, He'd be good there, you know, for a backup there. So, whatever. But I don't think the Giants are going to go out on the line on anybody. I think they want to get a safety, maybe make a move for them, and I think that's their biggest need. And I talked to you the last week, John, that guard. I said there was somebody, they were rating the top offensive lineman, and that guard that they said that was really handling Shelton was Tomlinson.
Lakin Tomlinson, okay.
And whatever, I that's what I see. I see all these guys that's going to be available for the Giants, you know, like Lakeland Thomason. They had Peak and they had Humphreys, you know. They had most them three most NFL ready for to go to an NFL team, you know, and start, you know. So I don't know, but the Giants will have their pick, I guess, between that and even like Shelton and Brown, the way it's starting to look. So I don't know. Do you have an idea on any of them players being rated ahead of one another?
I don't think anybody knows where the Giants have these guys right on their draft board yet, because the Giants haven't created their draft board yet, Joe. I mean, the scouts are still doing work on these guys. They haven't even gotten together yet to put together their preliminary board, and thanks for the call. But I think, you know, there are guys in the second and third round that you can bring in on the offensive line that maybe aren't going to be plug-and-play guys where you say, all right, the job, starting job is yours, go ahead, rock and roll. But there are guys you can develop and use. But as compared to last year, to me at least, this is not as deep of an offensive line class as you had last year. When you're getting
last year was crazy. How many offensive linemen were drafted in the first round last year?
Oh, yeah, last year offensive line wide receiver was nuts. The first few rounds of the draft, you're getting – couple dozen starters. I mean, it was crazy.
I don't know if it was the show I hosted with you or I hosted with Paul and kind of threw, or maybe it was Lance, where I kind of threw it out.
It was
where,
one of us, I promise you.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure if you and I had That's this okay. conversation before, and that is, you know, now with a lot of the draft boards, you know, we're at 3.0, right? We're in the third round of like all these experts and what they're expecting all these organizations to do. And a lot of them have Kevin White above Amari Cooper.
Almost
and,
exclusively now from what I've seen, which I think is nuts.
Yeah. And so now a lot of these draft boards have Amari Cooper going below 9. And my question, I mean, if he's there, is that
You're
I mean
how
difficult
meat to the masses here,
how Marks. How difficult is that to pass up on?
Well, I think if you get there, and this is what I say to the calls when they call and they ask about the wide receiver spot. If you get there, and just for example, in our little hypothetical world here, that Amari Cooper's on the board, right? Then you look at him and you compare him to the other guys there. And if you legitimately have Amari Cooper as
head and shoulders,
by far, exactly, right, the best player on the board.
Kind of like what happened with Odell, right?
Yeah, or what happened with Prince back in 2011 when they drafted him. then you say, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. You got to take him because he's that much better than everybody else. But if all things are equal or close to being equal, and maybe you have a guy at a position where there's a little bit more of a need, then I think you reevaluate. That's how I look at it.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Dennis calling in from Buffalo.
What's up, Dennis?
Okay, I want to talk about this guy that they drafted from or picked up from Canada. You guys are missing the point. They punt on third down. They don't exchange personnel. I think he's in there not only to be a backup center, but he's being groomed to replace Diasi. He fills two spaces, so they have an open line to get another person.
He's
that
a long
they need.
Snapper.
Okay, so he can long snap. You know that for sure. Because I honestly, I'll admit, I have no idea if he can long snap or not. I don't know that.
Well, in Canadian League, they don't change personnel because they do quick snaps. You know, they do the quick snap. In other words, the second down, they're 15 and two. They punt because they can do it. And
right,
I think that's really why he's coming.
Okay.
Okay? And as it goes, I think it really shows you how good these scouts really work on their job by finding this kid.
All right.
You know, and that's about it. I mean, I tried to get through to you for 2 weeks, and this, I finally got through.
Look at that, Dennis.
So thank you, Dennis. I appreciate your persistence, my friend. Thanks for the call.
I've always said this. I think the long snapper is the best job in the entire world. And if I ever had a son, starting at like age 3, I would just take him out to the park, and I would start then, kind of like how Tiger did.
It's not bad.
It's how like Tiger's dad did with him, taking him to the driving range at age 3. And I would just – and I would – at age 3, I'd have him start snapping the ball.
The only problem is
to
that
me,
you
it's
have
the
to
best job in the whole wide world.
You have to have some size. I mean, you can't be like 5'8", 160 as
no.
a long snapper. You
right.
have to have some, you know.
I understand.
You
I
have
understand.
To be 200 pounds or more, I guess. I 6 feet or taller, right? Something like that?
I understand. I
agree with you. It is a nice job to have.
Assuming that I would have a child that would have some type of size or athleticism, yes. I think it's the best job in the whole wide world. And it's such a specific task. It's such a specific skill.
It is. They have to add a player to the Pro Bowl every year just so they have a long snapper.
Yeah. Anyway.
They do.
Interesting.
And look, you know what? And that's actually a really good call because I don't watch Canadian football. I'm not like Tino searching out football.
You think he's got video up on YouTube?
Of long? I don't think there's long snapping video. there is, that might be the only long snapping video up on YouTube.
I might be Googling it after the show.
Check
it out.
I will look into that. Maybe I'll ask somebody around here if they know about his long snapping. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, though, Dennis. Good call.
Let's go to the Bronx. Line one. Will's joining us here on the show.
William?
You're welcome in.
Thank you, John. Thanks for taking this call.
Thanks for calling in.
I have to say, man, I'm just highly disappointed, man. Last 2 years, we've been complaining about the run game, both on offensive and defensive sides of the ball.
Yes, sir.
How come we did not game plan? You know, you got one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles in all of football right now. You have to project 2 years later or a year later that he's going to be the highest free agent on the market. Why not restructure a bunch of contracts way before that time and get this guy in on our team?
Are you talking about Sue? I'm here. You're talking about Sue?
Yes.
All right, so hold on a second. So you're fine then. I want to paint this picture for you. Let's say you restructure a bunch of contracts, right? And you go into next year, and Adonik and Sue's cap number is about $20 million. Eli Manning's cap number is about $20 million. And then throw
it's
in.
Impossible. You
and
can't
then
have,
throw
you,
in Jason Pierre-Paul's cap number is $12 million.
But
that
how many?
Means you're
how many
paying,
teams, John, have two cap numbers of $20 million?
Oh, nobody does because you know why? At that point, you have 30% of your salary cap wrapped up in two players. Impossible.
Wow.
Okay, I get that. Now my solution to that is this: you have a conversation with, say, your three or four top highest players currently on your team and see what they're really about. Are they willing to make some sacrifices to get us in that playoff situation
nope.
and run for the Super Bowl, or do they just want the money?
Nope.
It's unfortunately, and I get where you're coming from. This is still, in the end, for these players, a business. They only play X number of years, and you have to maximize the amount of money you make in the years that you can play.
Do me a favor.
These guys are aware that we are limited by the cap as an organization.
Yeah, so?
Do they want the win or do they want the money?
They want both.
This is the thing, and this is what I don't think fans really truly understand, is that this is a business.
This is their livelihood.
This is, like, the fans obviously want to win. And obviously everyone who works here at the facility wants to win, but at the same time, it is a business.
And the players want to win, too.
Yes.
But you have to get paid along the way.
Do me a favor. I'm just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill. Please call up his contract. I'm curious. What is he getting paid? When is his deal up? What is his salary cap number? I'm just curious.
Okay. I'm curious to see where you're going with this.
Right. Anything else you have you want to talk about before we let you go?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I can understand the business aspect of it, but at the same time, you know, the players know we have a cap situation. They know that the organizations are limited or their hands are tied behind their back. I'm just saying, who's next year's big free agent guy, and do they fit, you know, somewhere where we'll have a need next year or maybe not next year but the year after? And just plan for that. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling it. We appreciate it. You know what? The way I can look at it, I'll bring up Daniel's thing in a second. I'll answer his draft question first.
Okay.
We have two more callers, then we'll say goodbye. We'll close out the show here.
Okay.
Real quickly, these are some of the guys that could be free agents coming up next year. Now, a lot of these guys have signed contract extensions already. Keep that in mind. In fact,
Julio Jones?
Cam Newton's still a free agent. He has not been re-signed yet after his contract expires after the year, if I'm not mistaken. I think Von Miller signed the extension in Denver, right? Darius definitely signed one in Buffalo. A.J. Green is extended. Peterson and Jones, they're both extended. Alden Smith is extended. Jake Locker's a free agent. Tyron Smith's been extended. J.J. Watt's been extended. Nick Fairley's a free agent this year. Robert Quinn's been extended. Not sure about Mike Pouncey and Ryan Kerrigan. I'm not sure if Ryan Kerrigan's been extended yet from the Redskins or not, to be honest with you. If he hasn't been, that's a potential defensive end signing right there. Nate Solder, a great offensive tackle of the Patriots, I believe, was signed to an extension. You got Prince Mukamara, who's a free agent. He has 1 year left on his contract for the Giants. And those are a lot of the big names here. Mark Ingram's been signed to an extension, or at least that's what the reports are. Kaepernick's been signed to an extension. You know, most of these guys, you know what, next year's free agent class, a lot of these guys have already been signed to extensions. It's not like it is this year where there's so many guys that are up. And here's Tannehill for you.
Yeah. So what is he?
Tannehill will be a free agent after next year. Again, he's on his rookie deal. So his cap hit this year is $3 million.
So he's on his rookie deal.
Yes, he is.
Correct. Okay. So, again, reports are that Sue's going to go to the Miami Dolphins for $114 million and averaging $19 million a year.
That's why you can afford it.
So that's why you can afford it, because Tannehill is still on his – now the concern here is the writing on the wall now for Tannehill, because you're not going to be able to afford paying Sue $19 million a year. And let's say, hypothetically speaking, I mean, I will say this. Tannehill impressed me this season. I thought Tannehill took a step. I think Tannehill took a step up this season.
I agree.
I think this coming year is really going to be the tell-all. And what happens if Tannehill really even progresses and is even better this year? Or maybe by the Dolphins going out and signing Sue, writing's on the wall, they kind of know they're not going to offer Tannehill the $16, $17, $18 million dollars per year they pay a quarterback.
How do you think the Seahawks are able to compete the way they had the last few years?
Because Russell Wilson makes about $700,000-something.
That is going to change next year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, being able to bring back the Earl Thomases and the Richard Shermans, though those guys have been signed to extensions,
right,
it makes it a lot harder to build a team around those guys. That's why they had to let Golden Tate walk away. That's why Byron Maxwell walked away. That's why Walter Thurman walked away. I don't think they've signed Cam Chancellor to a long-term deal yet, have they? I don't think Chancellor's gone big money. I don't remember him signing a big contract.
I am not sure. I don't think so.
I don't think he has, right? Anyway, the point being, it's going to be tougher. Let's squeeze in two more calls here, Anita, before we say
really
goodbye.
Quick. Let's go to Victor in Texas, line 4. Victor, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Victor. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, just three quick things. First of all, we got to look at Eli Manning's contract. I think that's pivotal that his contract either get restructured or, you know, so it can free up some cap space.
Okay.
If that doesn't get restructured, you're going to see what the Giants spend. We're not going to spend a lot in free agency. Secondly, look at Spags. Spags came back, right? So he was successful with our defense when we had the NASCAR package. I look at the personnel that we have on his team right now. We don't have those speed edge rushers. We don't have those people right now. So don't be surprised. I mean, seriously, don't be surprised if the Giants go defensive end in the first round or nose tackle. And thirdly, looking at the offensive line, what I'd like to see the Giants do is actually look at the kid from the Division III school, Ali Marpley. I mean, he reminds me of a Soybert type of guy. He has a nice body build.
Yeah,
he's pretty quick on his feet. And I would just like to see the Giants solidify that offensive line prior to coming into the season. I know that, you know, they like to have moving parts, but if something works, find it and stick to it. And appreciate you taking my call, guys. If you leave me on so I can hear you, I would appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it, Victor. No problem. Look, and I think...
Neely, if you can, don't disconnect him. This is how he's listening.
Don't drop him yet. And frankly, I think he made a lot of good points. I don't disagree with anything Victor said there.
So let's go to Lewis. Last call. Let's finish strong. Lewis, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're in with you today, my friend.
Pretty good. Quick question. If in the 2015 draft the Giants decide to like get a lineman like Sheriff or Collins, how do you guys see the line panning out? Would Pugh go to right guard or something like that? Like, how would it switch up, you think?
I think it depends which guy you pick. I think if you pick a guy like Collins, I see him as, well, both guys can swing into guard. You know what? That's a really good question. I think that's something the Giants would have to figure out. I think right off the bat, I'd be willing to leave Pugh at tackle and move one of the new guys at guard, to be honest with you. But I could see it working both ways. I know you want a better answer for me, Lewis. I wish I could give it to you. I honestly think it's a 50-50 proposition, to be quite honest with you. It depends. Look, scouts, from what I've seen, are torn. Do they see Collins and Scherf as tackles or guards? I don't know how the Giants scouts see them. And I think it depends on where they think that potential draft pick plays better. That'll determine where they put Pugh. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, like a training camp issue, right? I would go out through practice and stuff like that to figure out who's better at which position.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it too, but I think it also is them watching the college player in school. So based on Scherf's, you know, play on the field, based on his combine numbers, same for Collins, where do they see him as a better player in the pros, a guard or a tackle? Wherever they think he can succeed at quickest and for the long term, that's where they'll put him and they'll put Pugh wherever will help the team the most otherwise.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for taking my calls, guys.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and I just want to expound on what Victor said really quick. And I didn't mean to, you know, just be like, Victor, I agree, and that's it. I just think he knocked – I think that the offensive lineman he mentioned is a good mix middle rounds. I think at some point you want Eli here more than 1 year, so you're going to have to work on an extension there, as we talked about.
Right.
And I would not be surprised with Jerry Reese's draft history if he goes after a defensive lineman early in this draft because he likes drafting defensive linemen and pass rushers and guys that can stop the run. Linval Joseph, Hankins, JPP, go through the list. None of that would surprise me.
And especially you look at the teams that you're playing in the NFC East Division, specifically the Dallas Cowboys, which more than likely, obviously, you play twice in the regular season and at times possibly – a third time in free agency, a third time in the playoffs. Either DeMarco Murray is going to stay there, or there's reports out there that they're going to land Adrian Peterson. If that's the case, you need a defensive line
to
stop the run against arguably one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
And
so,
Chip Kelly likes to run the football, too. Let's not forget that. People think of Chip Kelly as this wide open guy. He runs the ball.
Especially if what we're hearing, again, reports that Frank Gore as well as C.J. Spiller might end up in Philadelphia with that 1-2 punch, and then Sproles being the running back they utilize more so in the passing attack. So it's going to be interesting. As I said when we opened up the show, this is going to be a phenomenal week, an exciting week. John is back. Are you with Lance or Paul tomorrow?
That's a good question. I'm with one of them.
Okay. I think you're with Paul. I think you might be with Paul.
That sounds
good.
Right.
So make sure you tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow, same time, high noon, 1 o'clock. Maybe they'll extend as well because obviously tomorrow things are really going to get heated up. 4 p.m. Eastern time is when a lot of those deals will be solidified, and then Wednesday will be fun. I'm back on Friday as well. So stay tuned to Giants.com. We'll keep you posted on all the news. Getting you ready, of course, for free agency and the NFL draft. Anything else?
Nah, should be a lot of fun. We look forward to it all week long. Again, free agency opens tomorrow at 4, and I'm sure a lot of news will break between now and then on what other teams are doing around the league, and maybe we'll get a snippet on what the Giants might be doing too. So stay tuned to Giants.com for all the official news and information as always.
Fantastic. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, here we go.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.